Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Hey, welcome to church this morning. Here we are again in Code Red, and we're not too sure what to do, other than the fact that you need to be aware of something, and those of us who are a couple here helping out with worship, but you are home there sitting, and you may be sitting in your pajamas, eating your Shreddies with your fuzzy slippers cup on the ottoman, but God is still the same. And I'm trusting that God is going to minister to us this morning as we reach out to him. And I believe that God has some great things. Just a couple things that I wanted to mention to you in terms of what is happening in the next few weeks. One of the things that we are wanting to do because of Code Red and the inability to meet publicly together, one of the things that we're wanting to do is to establish online prayer meetings. And so there are going to be online prayer meetings that are going to be on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. I think the first one might be this Thursday coming up. And so you're going to have to keep a website, and you're going to have to read the newsletters to find out some of the things which are happening and taking place. And hey, we have an opportunity. If we're kind of closed in a little bit, let's take the opportunity to actually pray and trust that God is going to move not only in our church but in our community, and that revival begins to flow as we begin to pray. The other thing is this: next week we are starting our week of giving for the poor. And so if you haven't heard about this, you have not been watching and seeing all the social media things that we have and emails that we've sent out and newsletters that we have sent out, we're wanting to make a difference. We know that there is a great need happening, particularly in the Samaritan House as they renovate their shelters. And because their shelters are limited, they need as much help as they can get. And they have a project. And what we want to do is we want to give without any kind of difference to ourselves. We want to be able to reach out in whatever way we possibly can. And so I'm hoping that that you can do that. Okay? And so this is what I want to pray. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will move in a way that we think, well, I have to be in church in order for God to move. Well, we know that that's not true. But I want to pray for the transferring of the Holy Spirit to move in a deep way in all of our lives. And that God will get the message through, that the Word of God will penetrate, the Word of God working with the unctioning power of the Holy Spirit will somehow reach into you where you are going through at this particular time, because we all need God at this time. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, I'm just so thankful that you are a God that is not changed by anything else. You are all the same. You were the same at the beginning of this year. You are the same now. You don't change. And so your power remains the same. And your love remains the same. And your mercy remains the same. And so, God, as we just continue to hold church, Father, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit is no different than it is, Father, than in a full church or whatever way that we are comfortable hearing the Word of God. But I'm praying specifically right now at this time during this season that you will show your power in a real way. So much so, God, that it will cause us, Lord, just to bow down in a deeper relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray this, Father, anything that we do as a church will fall on shallow ground unless you are ministering fully through it. And so, God, I pray that you'll do your will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope that you are enjoying the series, and we're kind of continuing on in the series called The 800-Pound Gorillas. Last week, I veered off a little bit just because I believe the Holy Spirit had put something on my heart to speak, and God does that sometimes, and we just have to kind of go with the flow as the Holy Spirit moves. The other thing is it's kind of a longer series, and it begins to delve into certain areas that somehow make us uncomfortable sometimes, but you can't deal with something that we don't admit is there. Silence is not our friend sometimes when it comes to talking about relevant issues. And here's the thing. Jesus was always relevant. And the Word of God is always relevant. And we need to understand that. We need to reach people and explore the questions that they're asking through the lens of the Word of God, because the Bible has something to say. And I don't want to give you my opinion. What I want to give you is what the Word of God says. As we take a look at the Word, what does it say about some of these issues? And I don't know if I'm going to be able to solve the problem, but what I would like to do is at least start a conversation. Because that's what happens when we begin to talk and the Holy Spirit begins to move. And you never deal with things that you never, ever address. And I believe that God wants to address this particular issue. When God speaks to me, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, when God convicts your life, oftentimes it's not a comfortable thing. God begins to kind of poke around in areas in our lives and we just kind of feel uncomfortable. But what we do is we welcome that, because ultimately what happens is when we allow God to have his way, then health begins to happen. And so this is kind of the idea. And here's the other thing, an issue which is ignored eventually becomes a bigger issue. If I have a stinky old pair of socks, and instead of washing them, I say, I'm just going to put them in the drawer. And so I put them in my sock drawer, and I close the drawer. And I come back a week later and open that drawer. You know what? The stink won't go away. As a matter of fact, the stink will get bigger. Have you ever found that? Well, I hope you haven't found that. That means you're not washing your socks. But hey, let's just get away from that just for now, okay? What I'm basically trying to say is, 800-pound gorillas are a big issue. And the one that I'm talking about today is perhaps the biggest. I want to talk about the green gorilla, the environmentalist gorilla. And you say, well, why do you think that that is the biggest gorilla? Well, because it's a critical issue. It is a global issue. And it is an issue that we are in primary position as the church to deal with. And so let's talk about this for a little. I have found that the evangelical church as a whole has kind of shied away from this particular subject. And I know that I have shied away from this subject. I've had certain strong feelings about that I've had to repent of. So what I did is I tried to put together four reasons, four arguments that the church needs and that God wants us to fight for our environment. First reason is that it is reasonable. You have to sit there and ask yourselves, and if I don't answer this particular argument, I think that everything that I will say to you will be on ground that you won't listen to. And here's the thing with me. Here's some of the things that I have discovered. There are reasons why I haven't really addressed the environmental issues. There's reasons why perhaps we shy away from it. The one is the fact that the associations that we have, sometimes we don't really like to think of. Like a lot of times, the environmental issue, we kind of associate ourselves with eccentric personalities. You know, whenever I think about the environment, I kind of think of these people who never ever got past the 60s, and they kind of got this long hair, and they got a big peace sign on, and they just kind of sit around in a circle holding hands and hugging a tree, and I think, I don't really want to have anything to do with this kind of fringe society. These people are kind of eccentric, you know, and I don't really want to have a whole lot to do it, but besides, I don't look good in tie-dye. So, hey, I don't want to associate them. But more on a serious level, we don't associate with the environmentalist movement is because they have associations with what we would call the New Age movement and Wiccan and some occultic practices and a lot of people who believe that there is a soul in everything and that this ideology of Mother Earth and the fact that there's this kind of neo-pantheism that kind of exists with that particular group. And I don't want to have anything to do with that. Those concepts are totally unbiblical. And so as a result, I don't want to associate with anything that has to do with occultic practices and things like that. But that's not really the case. The fact still remains that the environment becomes an important issue. What about the fact that the environmental issues stack on the side of different political ideologies that I have. And as a Christian and as many Christians, we kind of believe more conservatively. And so therefore, if we believe more conservatively, it goes to think that, well, we kind of believe all the attributes of the conservative parties in our political party. And those things that are part of the liberal party, those people are a little bit to the left. And we don't really want to associate. And their agendas are a little bit different. And when all of a sudden they bring up an issue, and you kind of know that this is the case many times with these issues, is that a lot of times political parties will create a crisis and they will incite fear so that you will give them their money and then you will eventually give them their power, which will result in the loss of your freedom. And so what happens is we eventually question their motives and we question their legitimacy and these facts that are put out. We say, is that really the case? Are you going too far because you're trying to somehow gain some level of power? But I think we're kind of past that with this particular issue. I think that everyone would agree that issues with the environment are kind of important. Other reasons that I've kind of looked at and said, well, I don't know if I want to have anything to do with this environmental issue is because sometimes the people who are lined up in the religious community are people who are part of mainline denominations. And the problem that I'm having sometimes with those people who are part of mainline denominations is a lot of the people who advocate environmental causes are people who also believe that Jesus really wasn't the Son of God, and that what they've done is they spiritualize the scriptures to the exclusion of the gospel. And if they do that and spiritualize the scriptures to the exclusion of the gospel, who's to say that they're not doing that as well to promote environmental issues? It's kind of a dangerous slippery slope, isn't it? Well, I think thankfully some of us evangelicals have kind of taken a look at a deeper sense of the Word of God, and that has caused us to rethink the way we are going. Perhaps one of the biggest reasons that we kind of shy away from this thing of environmentalism is because of this thing in the church and in our theology which talks about a disposable earth. Well, hey, I'm not really made for this world. I'm made for the world ahead. And have you not read the Bible, Pastor Mike? The Bible basically says in Revelations and in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, that the earth is going to kind of melt away and the elements are going to burn and all that kind of stuff. You put that all together, you know, hey, so if God is going to get rid of the world anyways, or if he's going to kind of damage it anyways, who am I to say otherwise? I'm just kind of here for a little while. Heaven is the goal, really. But if God chooses to do things the way he does, and I'm not too sure exactly where that scripture lies, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. If God chooses to do what he does with the earth, it is his creation, not mine. And just because it might be temporary in our theology, it doesn't mean that God still hasn't called us to be stewards of his creation. Think about it in this way. What about our bodies? Our body's not going to be here forever. And we sit there and say, well, this is just the package that we are in until we get to heaven. So therefore, I'm allowed to abuse my body. I'm allowed to put in it whatever I want. I don't have to exercise. I don't have to do all of these things. It doesn't really matter because it's only for a little while. We don't think that way. Actually, the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you can't really use that argument. God still calls us to be stewards of what he has given us in his creation. And ultimately, perhaps the reason that a lot of us don't get involved or a lot of us don't advocate the idea of environmentalism is this. We don't want their dirt to get on us. So if I believe in helping the environment and Greenpeace believes in helping the environment and Greenpeace has some way off ideas, does that mean that I also have those way off ideas? No. But sometimes we feel that we will be guilty by association. And what I think has happened is that environmentalism is ultimately a Christian issue which has been hijacked from people who have other agendas than we do. But it doesn't mean the fact that we still don't have to take care of the environment. So it's reasonable. Not only is it reasonable, it is righteous. It is a biblical thing. You have to just take a look at what the scriptures say from the very first pages, and you will realize that the Bible says something deep about our ability to be stewards of this particular thing of creation. Now, let's go back to Genesis and look through the very first chapters of Genesis. It talks about the fact that God created the world in 5 days. It wasn't seven. Well, it was a seven-day process, but he created the world in five. Well, what does he create on the sixth day? He creates a steward. He creates someone in his image to take care of the garden. All you have to do is read Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and it says that God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to take care of the garden, to make sure that it runs well. You go and you talk about Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may be able to rule over the fish and in the sea and in the birds and in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals and over all creation that move along the ground. That God had given man dominion is what the word has said. I believe in the King James Version. Dominion, to rule over. Now, if you are to rule over something, it doesn't mean that you will in any ways try and abuse or misuse the thing. The Bible also tells us that we need to rule over our children. Does that mean that we're abusive to them in any way? No, of course not. We in love try and control and work and take care of those things. In Genesis, we see it. It's obvious as we take a look that God has called us to be a steward. But then it's not just there. You go and you take a look in terms of the Levitical laws, and there's things that are incorporated into the Levitical laws that tell us that we need to take care of the earth. One of the main ones is seen in Exodus chapter 23. I believe it's in chapter 10 chapter 23, verses 10 and 11, where it talks about the concept of a sabbatical year for the ground. And not only that, it talks about the fact that as you farm the land, there's a certain part of the land that you need to leave for the poor. And this becomes an important issue because not only is there the sixth day where God creates a steward, there is a seventh day where God rests and calls to us to rest. And if you don't rest, what ends up happening is the fact that your greed and your overconsumption all of a sudden causes us to be burnt out. And if there was another 800-pound gorilla, it would be the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, is the fact that there is a Sabbath that we need to keep holy. And by and large, as a church and individuals, we don't do that. We just go on and we go on and we go on and we get tired and we wonder why we're tired. And in the seventh year that they had of the land was to replenish the land. And if you don't spend time in the Sabbath, you don't replenish yourself in every area. You don't replenish yourself physically. You don't replenish yourself spiritually. You don't replenish yourself emotionally. You don't replenish yourself mentally. And so what happens is even today, In the predicament that we are in kind of a forced Sabbath, an opportunity where we actually have to sit down and say, okay, God, there's nothing I can do. I can go maybe limited. If I'm able to go to work, that's a great thing. But I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to slow down. I have an opportunity to get into His Word. I have an opportunity to replenish myself. But when that doesn't happen, there's an adverse effect. And this is what was happening as the Levitical law comes into place, that when Sabbath is not observed because of greed and overconsumption, the negative things come into play. You go on even into the Psalm chapter 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and all who dwell in them. And He formed it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. Even in the New Testament, you can see it. Ever take a look at Romans chapter 1 when they begin to talk about the fact that people might be known for God and manifest them, for God has shown it to them since the creation of the world. The invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and the Godhead show that there's absolutely no excuse for us. If you haven't had the opportunity to know God and to receive God, there's still something in nature that says He is there. God has shown Himself. He's revealed Himself through nature. I think it was Augustine which says God has revealed Himself through two books, the Word of God and the Book of Nature and Creation, which just kind of shows us that He exists and that He is there. You can even go on, read a couple chapters later in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, perhaps one of the most incredible passages of scriptures is Romans chapter 8. And there is something that is in the middle of that as he begins to talk about the fact that there's no condemnation and that all things work to good, and if God is for us, who can be against us, and who can separate us from the love of God? All these wonderful passages of scripture. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, there's a passage of scripture which talks about the fact that as God is doing this redemptive work, it talks about how the earth is even groaning like a person who is about to have a baby, that there is a groaning which is looking forward to God somehow ministering and moving. And I just kind of think that that's an interesting thought. You ever notice, even from the beginning of Adam, God creates, man disobeys and gets sick. And not only does man get sick, the world gets sick. And the more we sin and the more we walk away from God, what ends up happening is the world somehow seems to get sicker as well. And there's a redeemer that is necessary. And what he happens to do is he happens to use the church in the process of redeeming mankind. And you can't help but think, as you kind of see the comparison, that God may be using the church in the process of redeeming our planet. You can't help but somehow see it. You don't have to look too closely to realize that God's creation is a biblical issue. This is a Bible thing. God has called us to be stewards. It's kind of sown throughout the scriptures. Don't let the fact that the New Age movement or whatever left or side issue is talking about the importance of the environment, this is a biblical thing. They're not going to hijack it. We still have to remain biblical. We still have to take a look at the Word of God and say, this is an important thing. I'm not going to say this because my politician says it's an important thing. I'm not going to say this because some left-wing person says this. I'm going to say it is because this is what actually the Bible is telling me to do. That I need to be the steward that he wants me to be. And that means that I need to radically rethink how I treat the world. And that's a challenge. That's a challenge for us. It's a righteous thing. It is a relevant thing. It is relevant. Not only is it relevant, it is critical. Why is it that as the church, it seems that we always seem to be a little bit late to the party? I don't think we have to be late to the party. And I think that the world has separated themselves from the church. And we think, well, it's because of the behavior that they have. It's because of their lifestyle. And I don't know if that is totally true. I think that the world sometimes separates itself from the truth or from the church because perhaps our theology hasn't caught up with our lifestyle, hasn't caught up with the thought that, hey, this is what the Bible actually says. Well, no, I don't believe this because of all these pressures that I have. Well, it doesn't matter what those pressures say. What the Bible is actually telling me is that I need to love this earth and I need to care for this earth because he created it for me. And so this is becomes an important issue, and it becomes relevant because there's a compacting effect that has all of a sudden gotten bigger and bigger. So if the pollution that we have, the emissions that we have created pollution in our water and has reduced our fresh water supply, and it has created a problem with our climate. And I don't know if we call on the statistics, even if the statistics are half true, and what is happening as a result of these effects, farmers, especially in third world countries, are not able to farm their land, and we lose about $6 billion a year because of issues in our farming with the climate control issues. And that basically means that for most parts where this is happening, the people who are living there only get paid $1 or $2 a day, and they spend that $1 or $2 a day on crops, and if those crops grow up, then they become poorer and poorer. And if poverty happens, then what happens is crime happens. And if crime happens, then corruption happens. And all of a sudden we begin to consider that if climate change is directly affecting poverty, it's a Christian issue. And if greed is the reason for the environmental issues, then it becomes a Christian issue. And if justice is overlooked because of depletion of the earth, it is a Christian issue. And in 20 to 30 years, it will become even more critical. So if you don't believe the scriptures, which talk about the fact that we need to be stewards of the creation that God has given to us, you have to take a look at environmentalism over the fact that it is a huge justice and poverty issue. It is relevant. The best way that we can love our neighbor is to deal with the issues that are happening in their lives. It's true. It's important. There's a scientist, I believe he is an environmentalist lawyer. His name was Gus Speth. He made this comment that kind of hit me. This is what he said. I thought that with 30 years of good science, we could address these problems, but I was wrong. The top environmental problems are selfishness, greed, and apathy. And to deal with those, we need a spiritual and a cultural transformation. And we scientists don't know how to do that. See, the environmental issues are not a science issue. They are a heart issue. They are a human issue. You know, the environmentalism is a heart issue. And the science community has admitted, we don't know what to do if it is a heart issue. Well, what group deals with the heart issue? It's the church. And a unified cry of the church will somehow make a difference. It's not only relevant, it's not only righteous, it's not only reasonable, it's relational. It is an opportunity that we have to make a difference, not just in our community, but in our world. Maybe it is an opportunity like no other time. Maybe it is the thing that God will use to cause us to somehow make a difference. I remember as a younger Christian, reading a number of books on leadership, and I still try to read as much as I can on leadership, but one particular book was called Courageous Leadership. The very first chapter talks about this. The quote has still rung in my ears. It says, the church is the hope of the world. The author goes on to talk about the fact that the only way that people can come to know Christ is through the redeeming message of the gospel, which is embodied in the life of the church. And the church is the hope of the world. And as the world is looking for answers, there's a church that has hope. And we are propagators of hope. And I remember that quote, and I remember that chapter as I was reading it. And as I was preparing this week, I began to realize that we might be the hope for a totally different reason. Not only do we have the message of the gospel, which breathes in eternal life, but we also have the ability to somehow make a change in this world if the whole church begins to take a deeper look at it. I remember, I think a year or two, it was one of the first years I was here, and I showed one video in the service. If you don't normally attend a service, and you're just kind of following online, I know there's a few people who've been kind of following the series, and perhaps you're not too sure how I kind of do series. I'm kind of a video nut, and I kind of like to add something that will kind of add to the message. And one of the videos I showed, and I believe it's on YouTube, is based on a song by Brian Dirksen. It was called Creation Calls. How can I say there is no God when all around creation calls? How does it go on to say? I can't remember. A singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea. I love to stand at ocean's shore and feel the mighty thunder, the thundering breakers roar. And I was just moved as the video went on and showed all this wildlife and showed all this nature and the growth and the sun and the vast sea and the animals that are in it and nature which was there. It was overwhelming. The creation that we have I think that the world needs us on this issue. This may be our time if we can get our act together. Because think of it. We're deployed. The church is everywhere. We don't have to go where the problem is. We are where the problem is. We don't have to go to where the solution is. We are where the solution is. And not only that, we're a people of passion and compassion, that we care about those who are in need, that our mandate tells us that we need to reach out and minister to the poor, to those who are suffering, that we need to stand up against injustice. That is us. That is our mandate. That is our character. Not only that, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. So what does that mean? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is there anything impossible that as the church together does something, that great things will take place? I'm so overwhelmed by the fact that this is such an important issue. It's not whether the church gets involved. It is when and to what extent. We will choose whether we will be first or whether we are last. But I think that it's important for us to realize that I believe a world will be drawn to a people who actually care about their community. I believe that God is wanting to do something in that. So we pray together that God will minister and move. I can't solve the problem. We can't solve the problem. But we can start the conversation. And who knows what God will do with our five loaves and our two fish. God, I pray that you will minister deeply. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will work in our hearts. What little can I do? I don't know. But I know, Father, that if I say, Lord, here I am, use me, that God, maybe you can do great things. So, Lord, I just pray for your blessing as we go over this particular issue and ask God that you'll give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.